I keep talking about black people because we Asians have it good. As compared.
Yeah.
Right? You look at black people. I mean, what are they not good at? Sports. I know I'm stereotyping here. Music.
Acting.
Science. If you go online and look at the amount of things that black people have invented, you'll be surprised. But they're never spoken about. Why are they not spoken about? Something that we should think about. What are you so afraid of? What are we so afraid of that if we give them the same opportunities, they'll take from us?
Welcome to your favorite voice of business psychology, the Psych and Success Podcast. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap. So, this is part two of our conversation with Lizelle, the Global Training Manager at Financial Times. In this episode, we will continue to explore the evolving landscape of leadership, the vital role of people development, and the challenge of employee retention in the face of ineffective leadership. Lizelle, a passionate advocate for diversity, inclusion, equity, and belonging, she shares insights that challenge us to look beyond ourselves and uplift those less fortunate. Join us for this thought-provoking discussion where we will discover that humanity holds the answers to the greatest challenges. Let's begin.
You know, when I started in my leadership journey, I wasn't like this, Kritika.
Okay, so...
You know, I was quite very, very directive, very authoritative. I used to be called a taskmaster. When I walked into, like, you know, the Bay Area where we... my team used to sit, or other people's team, they used to make sounds of cracking the whip, like, I mean, to me, it was just get it done, you know?
So what, how did you evolve? What made you change?
I don't think my team was performing because I was so hard on them.
Because, now this is a question that I'm raising because there are a lot of people out there, a lot of leaders out there that I know are struggling to get their teams performing and getting empathetic and very open as a human being in front of their subordinates. It's so difficult for them. And you sharing your evolution journey would be helpful for them to also understand that how can they probably navigate their way towards becoming a better leader.
Yeah. So, well, I don't think that I'm the model leader, one. You know, I think I still have a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a learning journey.
It is a learning journey. However, I have learned that, you know, in today's world, we live in a VUCA world, right?
Okay.
We live in a volatile, uncertain... I forgot what the C and the A stand for, but I think it's chaotic, same difference. But we live in a very uncertain, ever-changing, sometimes hostile world, right? It's volatile. And everything needs to be done in a New York minute, as of yesterday, right? And then you've got to get... If you don't have your team or your people with you in these situations, you'll be all by yourself because nobody will be there. You know, these are the times when people's characters are put to the test. Why would I care for you and care for this company when you don't care about me? Truest quote, so people don't leave companies, they leave their managers.
True.
Right? There's one reason you would leave your manager, and that's because you want to grow. Right? But as a manager, you should already be doing that, helping them grow. For example, you know, I had somebody in my team who, let's call them person X. This person X, you know, had been in the team for about 2 or 3 years. They were in a junior position. They came into my team and they were obviously at a different, you know, higher position. And after 2 or 3 years, they're like, you know, itchy feet. They want to grow, right?
Run.
Very talented. I don't want to lose them.
Of course.
You know, if it were up to me, I'd lock them to the desk, right? However, and that's the thing. That's being selfish, isn't it? They're very talented. Their work ethics are superb. You know, they're very hardworking, very dedicated. They want to grow. So, and they want to grow outside of your team. So what do? You help them. You help them. Until the time that they are in your team, they will give their everything to you because you're not stopping the growth. You're opening doors for them. So a person in my team, this person X, wanted to get into like the technology side of things.
Okay.
And I said, okay.
Yeah.
You know? So they had a very, first of all, one of the things that I felt was amazing was they could sit and be open and transparent and say, Lizelle, I've reached my plateau.
Yeah. And so through this, also that they know that they have a space and very open and a safe space to talk about that.
Yes.
That's so important. And it is so difficult to build that. I mean, I won't say difficult. It's simple, but it's very, it's not as known. People are not able to build that environment for.
No. And that had taken me a long time to build that trust with this person. I did everything to build that trust with each and every person on my team. The Financial Times, I joined in COVID.
Okay.
Right? For nearly 8 months, I never saw my team in person.
Right. Yeah.
I inherited all of them. Okay. They were already there for a couple of years. It was me who was the new person. I had to manage them. And, for some time they didn't have, they were interim reporting to this person, that person. And, it's not the same as having your own manager, is it?
Right.
And I think because I was so far away from them, and, it's weird, but for me, I'll sit in a room and I can, you can feel the vibes, right?
True.
You can feel people's vibes.
Energy, yeah.
Yeah, the energy, exactly. You can feel people's energy. I can't feel the energy, right?
Computers.
So I learned how to read their face because that was the only thing I could see from here to there, right? What one movement of their eye would mean. Mm-hmm. What the head, when they put their head to one side would mean. And when they, play with their hair, not play with their hair, but run their hands through their hair, what that would mean. And I had to learn that about each and every person. So when somebody's getting upset in a meeting, right, I can tell. And even if there are loads of people, I'll ping them on a chat and say, are you okay? Really? Let's chat for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to check. Are you okay? You seem like you were getting a bit flustered. I was flustered. This person annoyed me because, they don't know what they're talking about. Let's talk through it. Why is it annoying you? How are you feeling? Are you feeling slightly better now?
Okay.
What can we do about it? Let's see what we can do about it. Why, get to the bottom of it. And you say, well, as leaders, you can't find the time. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to do. Find the time. And so this ex-person, I sat with them and I said, okay, what do you want to do? You want to get into, you want to go outside and do it? Or would you rather do it in the company?
Yeah.
Where it's safer, where you've already built your brand, right? So let's learn everything there is to learn about this. What's the job that you want to do?
Right.
I don't know. Okay, let's find out. Let's speak to this person. Oh, I'll speak to that person. I'll go and speak to them and say, hey, this person from my team is interested in this. Can they shadow somebody?
Right.
And then I got this person saying to me, well, they had applied for a job.
Okay.
But they first came and told me, I'm applying for one of those jobs. And said, I just wanted to tell you, I want to. But I'm feeling bad because we've got all these projects. And I was like, listen, your development comes first. You go do it. We'll manage anyhow. What do you need? Do you want me to do a mock interview with you? How can I help? And the time that they're with you, they will give you your all because you are giving them your all.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be insecure. You have to let them go.
Yeah, it's because they'll anyways go. If you're bad, they'll leave you even way earlier.
I mean, you know, just recently, I think one of the things, you know, my one of my managers said to me was that she had noticed, because I have people in different countries reporting to me as well, says, you know, and she knew this person before they came into my team. It's like, you know, this person is so confident and they're so this, and, you know, everybody's talking about how well they're doing, blah, blah, blah. And I was so happy to hear that. And I was like, well, that's great. And then, you know, they then spoke to my manager, then spoke to her manager. So, like, yeah, like, just this massive change in this person from what they were 2 years ago.
Wow.
You know, that person said, well, what do you think that is? And my manager said, it's Lizelle. And to me, that was,
yeah,
no amount of money would have made me feel, I don't know that, I don't know, and nobody has offered me a secret amount of money. But, you know, jokes aside, I think that really, like, made me so emotional. I was, like, literally had tears in my eyes, because as a manager and somebody in learning and development, that's what I want, right?
That's the best reward. That, because,
she asked that person in the team, like, you know, what's this change about? Like, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
You're super confident. You know, you know, you're there. Just, you know, it's Lizelle. She pushed me. She pushed me when I didn't think I had it in me.
Mm.
And I didn't even realize she was pushing me. So I think, you know, I don't want to, like, obviously I don't want to blow my own trumpet. But honestly, that was so fulfilling to me, to know that I had made some kind of change in somebody's life. And honestly, that person, from what they were to what they are today, you know, like, I mean, I don't have to worry about anything. All I have to do is say, here's what needs to be done. If you need me, come to me.
Okay.
Just keep me in the loop.
Okay.
And that's it. Before that, no, nothing. They couldn't do any, like, these things. Today, it's just like, whoa. You know? And that's what you want. You don't want people to keep relying on you.
Yeah.
Right? You want them to be independent, to grow. And that's how your team will grow.
Yeah. And, you know, I do understand what you're talking about different sort of managers. Because I have experienced it myself. Because I have my job switching. In my job switching, I was working with a company where the managers were kind of, you know, deteriorating your own confidence and breaking my confidence through their words, through the kind of work they used to give me and how they used to treat me. And when I moved to the other company and the manager was so good that my previous colleague, when she was talking to me and she saw me in action at my work, and she was like, oh, Kritika, what has gotten into you? You look, you're so confident. You're so motivated. That's amazing. I love the change that has gotten. And I was like, this actually happened just because of the manager. And that was so lovely.
It's absolutely necessary as a leader to have your team's back.
Mm.
You need to have their team's back, right? If somebody comes and complains about, say, somebody in my team, you know, I'll listen. And I'll be like, I don't know what's happened. Let me call back. And my team will tell me the truth, even if they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And then I'll go back and I'll be like, I always say to my team, if it's our fault, we don't do anything intentionally. I know my team, you know, everybody's dedicated and have extremely strong work ethics. If we've not done something on, you know, whatever, put your hands up and say, I'm sorry. It's okay. I will say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because if something has happened in my team, it's a reflection on me, right?
True.
So as a leader, you should be able to do that. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you should also be able to fight their corner. So if something has gone wrong and your team's, you know, inadvertently responsible for it, first find out why.
Okay.
Right? If, you know, and that's through explorative questions, you know, what is it? You know, like, what happened? Okay, so this happened, you know, Is there some email, something I can see?
Hmm.
And then you have to make a very sort of a very...
neutral?
Not neutral, but more of a unbalanced, a balanced, you know, you're looking at both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at keeping emotions aside.
Hmm.
You're looking at what was the impact to business.
Right.
Right? If X didn't happen, if we didn't do our job right, or we missed certain deadlines, what was the impact to business?
Right.
What was the impact to people? What was the impact to processes? What is the impact to systems? Hmm. As a leader, you're supposed to assess that.
Yeah.
And if you've impacted any one of them, or multiple ones, then it's your job to say, okay, I apologize. I'm sorry. Yes, this happened. If there was a reason, you state the reason. If there's no reason, say there's no excuse for this.
Hmm.
And we will do better the next time. But as a leader, you then need to keep a constant check of whether you are doing better rather than just leaving people and saying, okay, get on with it. The next time you screw up, your head's going to be on a chopping block. No, that's not the way to go.
Yeah.
Right? So in my team, it's okay to make mistakes. We learn from it. My thing is, don't make the same mistake twice.
Right.
If you're making the same mistake twice, then you better have a good reason for making that same mistake twice.
Hmm.
You know? Once, okay. Twice, three times. But after the third time, there's something at the bottom of it. We've got to get to it.
Yeah.
It could either be a skill issue.
Hmm.
Or it could be a will issue. But as a leader, it's up to you to find out.
Yeah.
I've had to take tough decisions. I've been in a position where I've had to let go of people.
Okay.
But, you know?
Yeah, you have to do that. I mean...
I've had to do that. But I've done that. I've tried to do that in the most humane, compassionate, and helpful way.
Hmm.
And you know, I'm still in touch with some of those people.
Okay.
You know, we still are on a, you know, good relationship basis. We give in touch. We ask each other about, you know, what's going on with our lives.
Hmm.
So never burn bridges.
Hmm.
Never burn bridges.
Yeah, that's amazing. So coming back to when, because you are a millennial, right? And so have you noticed, because I believe that Gen Zs are also either in your team or you like even level two levels below. So have you seen a difference in, if you talk about inclusivity or equity, that how they see it, how they Gen Z perceive it, or and how millennials or the people who are above you, let's say, who are Gen X or baby boomers, how they perceive it? Have you seen any difference?
I think I mainly have like millennials in my team too.
Okay.
But that's a very interesting question. There is a marked difference, but everyone's different.
Absolutely.
And I think it's less about millennial, Gen Z, Gen Y, baby boomers and all of that.
Hmm.
I think it's more about how you're brought up.
Okay.
I think it's more of what your experience with life has been thus far. I mean, in today's world, you'd expect the latest generation, you know, to be most inclusive, most, you know, thinking about, because, you know, they're seeing it constantly now, right? But if you grow up in a place where you're taught to hate gay people, hate Muslims, hate black people, is it going to make a difference whether you're Gen Y, Gen Z, whatever? And I think that's it. That's the foundation. Yeah. People can change. You know, I saw a documentary on Discovery once that about this one man who used to be in the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, what is that?
The Ku Klux Klan were a bunch of Americans who used to lynch black people.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah.
But he converted. Because a black woman showed him kindness when nobody else would. In fact, they became such fast friends. He started to become the biggest advocate for black people. So people can change. You know, people, yeah. I think people were all, are all born innately good. Life, our childhood experiences make us believe life is a certain way when it's not.
Yeah, yeah. You would never see a baby discriminating against anything.
Exactly. They'll, if you smile at them, they'll smile at you.
Yeah.
Unless they're hungry or, you know,
that'll be cranky for everyone.
Yeah, but you make a baby, you know. But once they start learning, and kids learn things.
Yeah.
You know, once they start learning, that's it. That's in their psyche then.
Hmm.
You know, and going back, and they remember who taught, you know, they've been like, oh, you know, I heard my dad say this once. Oh, you know, my dad said this, or my mum used to say this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know it's wrong. Because that's also another thing that we humans are blessed with. We can tell when things are right from wrong. We just choose to ignore it.
Yeah, but then I think it requires a very conscious and a very non-ignorant brain to understand that it is wrong or it is right.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think we know what's wrong and what's right. We just choose to be ignorant about it. And we use ignorance as a shield. You know? And it's just, you know, right from wrong. You know it's not good to be mean to somebody, be nasty to somebody.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know how you would feel if, you know?
You
would but if you think something is a cockroach or an insect, would you, like, I've seen, like, I don't kill any insects. I will take them and I will put them outside my house.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I do. However, I mean, my family people, you know, ah, spider! What? You know, just kill the spider, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you kill that? Because you think their life's not significant, right? Your life's significant. You're murdering somebody else. an insect. It's got a life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. We know. But in that minute, you know it's wrong to kill things, but that you've been taught that that's so insignificant.
Or maybe dangerous.
I mean, it's a spider, daddy long legs. What's it going to do to you? Or it's a bloody insect. It's a bug. Take it and just put it outside the door, right? Why do you have to kill it for? Right? Or it's a bee. I mean, we've had bees go, oh, you're a swat it, and I'll just open the window.
Yeah.
It goes. Or I'll usher it.
Wait, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I used to be something that killed it.
Okay.
But I feel like I respect all lives. Now, if I was in a position of danger, where there was a black widow spider.
Yeah, yeah.
Sitting in front of my face or sitting on my face. And in self-defense, I squashed it. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
But if there's a black widow spider or a snake in my house that I know to be poisonous, I'll close the door. I'll call animal control and I'll get that thing out of my house. I'm not going to kill it. I could kill it, but I don't want to. And I think that's the same thing about race. Is we think there are some people that are so insignificant, that it's okay to squash them, it's okay to be mean, and it's okay to be nasty to them. And then that, because they're so insignificant in your head, that you don't think it's wrong. But these are human beings. They're not insects. They're not, you know, they're human beings.
They're just like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the caste system where, you know, back in the day when you had in India, when you've got, you know, the untouchable, the Dalits, they went to school, you know. I mean, they were not even allowed to drink from the same
tap,
you know. I mean,
not eat at the same
place. No, and they were children.
That was this.
If they were allowed to be in school with other people, if, you know, It's terrible to grow up to think that somebody would treat another human being like that just because of a social construct. And that to me is absolutely abhorrent.
And you know, when people are brought up in such a situation where they are treated very lowly, they grow up like that and they're so underconfident. There are some who become a rebel, who fight for everything, and they try to take their community forward and everything. But the most of the section become so underconfident that they start thinking that they are really of no good.
Yeah.
That there's something really wrong in them.
Yeah. That they have to be at that place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they're never going to get any further. Okay. And that is the mentality that stops people from growing. But if you give people the same opportunities, what are you afraid of? I mean, look at... I keep talking about black people because we Asians have it good. As compared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? You look at black people. I mean, what are they not good at? Sports. I know I'm stereotyping here. Music. You know. And
acting.
Acting. Science. If you go online and look at the amount of things that black people have invented, you'll be surprised. But they're never spoken about. Why are they not spoken about? Something that we should think about. What are you so afraid of? What are we so afraid of that if we give them the same opportunities, they'll take from us? And that's the same thing that rich people do to the rest of the world, right?
Yeah.
It's in their best interest to keep everybody else. I mean, what? A certain percentage of the world's wealthiest people control everything in the world. It's coming back to the millennials, and I don't believe it's millennials or Gen Z or Gen Y. Yes, there are some people who know more because of social media, and they can ask questions. But if you grew up in a community or a society or a family where you're taught to hate a certain or look down on a certain set of community or people, then what are you going to do?
Internet has gotten vast. Everybody has it. And Gen Z especially, they have grown with the internet world in their hands. And they, more or less, the people who are out there who have... Everybody has become a global citizen. Everybody is a little more inclusive than people were before. I mean, most of the people who are the upcoming, let's say, the next gen leaders or people who are coming at work. So how do you see the future? Because now people who are well-educated, who come from like a background which was open to them, where they could question, and they have been brought up in an environment where it was unbiased, they are very open towards different change, very open towards culture, different ethnicities, diversity. They welcome everybody. So how do you see the future going around that? So how do you see, let's say, 5 years from now, what would happen? Would there be still, we would be talking about diversity and inclusivity?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And in what way?
I think it's going to be my personal prediction, and of course, it's my personal prediction. It's no scientific fact to this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to be another 50, 60 years.
Really?
Yeah, I think our children will be slightly better off than us. And I think our grandchildren might reap the benefit. But 5 years? I don't think anything's going to change in 5 years. I mean, look at yesterday, right? Yesterday, there was a massive protest by the English Defence League.
Okay.
Who are they? They're an Islamic far-right group. Right?
Okay.
You look at the crowd of people there. Look how young some of those people are. Shouting nasty things.
There
were quite a sizable people. I mean, they were on the news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So do I think it's going to change in 5 years? No. But I think we're the generation, every generation has a responsibility to leave the next generation better off than them.
Mm.
And I think that's our generation's responsibility. You're not going to reap the benefits for yourself.
Yeah.
Our children and our children's children might be better off. And that's what we must do in terms of our climate, the earth, in how we use things sustainably and responsibly, in how we treat human beings, you know, how we lift up people who are less fortunate than us.
Mm.
If you have any privilege and power, any at all, you should be using it to do good. And I know that's easier said than done because everybody has their own life, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do grand gestures. You know, like, for example, you said, you know, one of the things, Lizelle, I think the one thing I told you was, you know, you said, oh, Lizelle, you've been so helpful and how can I ever repay you and all of that? And I was like, I don't want anything. Maybe a Rajma curry.
Okay.
I said, I don't want anything. All I want you to do is do the same thing for someone else. Did I not?
Yes, yes. And that is what had stayed on
correct
me.
Right? And that's what I do, because I mentor, you know, other women, Indian women who come to this country. That's all you have to do is do something little. You know, you form these bonds where, you know, you read a post of mine, reached out to me on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And here we are today. You're in my house. Right? And we've been for nearly a year talking on and off and, you know, having so many conversations.
Absolutely.
The concept of Ubuntu, it's an African concept, right?
Mm.
Ubuntu means I am because of you, you are because of me. We are because of them, they are because of us. Which means that we all have to function. We are ourselves because of other people who've helped us in our communities.
Mm.
And we must be like that to them. And that is the concept of Ubuntu. And there are books on Ubuntu. And, you know, I've read extensively on it. And the more I read about it, and the more I'm like, oh my God, there's just so much truth to that. You know, where would I be without my dad? You know, I am because of him. And he was because of me in a way as well. Because, you know, having kids must have changed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where would I be without my mother? Where would she be without me? Where would I be without my sisters, my aunts, my uncles, my teachers?
Yeah, yeah.
I am because of you. You are because of me. We are because of them. They are because of us. Ubuntu.
That's so amazing. And I can actually see how when you're talking about it, your eyes are just lit up.
Yeah.
And there's just so much passion and compassion that is there in you. So I think my last question to you would be, how would you suggest or advise a Gen Z who is trying their way out in this world of being diverse, who is either in a privileged position or not in a privileged position, to navigate through this corporate world and do consider the inclusivity that is maybe a challenge, maybe a growing thing?
I wish I had the answers. I don't know what it is to grow up, to be a child in my formative years and in a world like this. The world was very different when I was growing up. We had cassette players.
Yeah.
We didn't have cable TV. I used the internet for the first time when I was 14.
Okay.
There was no YouTube. Don't think there was even Google. No. I got a cell phone when I was 19 or 20. So I don't know what it is to live in this newfangled world.
Hmm.
I know what it is to be from my 30s onwards living in this ever-evolving, changing world.
Yeah.
So I don't have that life experience that they have. So I don't think I'm the right person to give them any advice.
Hmm.
However, what I can say, there are principles of humanity that have remained constant.
Yeah, okay.
Since books have been written, that doesn't seem to change. Kindness, compassion, humility, patience, being courageous, having integrity, and being an honest person. I think your values are so important. And I think if you have that, if you have your values screwed on right, it's okay to change your values. You could be, you know, your parents could have instilled those values, schools could have instilled values. At the end of the day, you can choose your values.
Yeah.
People can change, you know? At the core of you, if you are true to yourself, if you are your true, authentic self, in the sense, you know, you're a good person. I think that's all that really matters. You know, life can change. Technology will change. People will change. But as long as you are true to yourself and, you know, you do the right thing by humanity, I think you're a winner. What is success after all? Who measures success? You or society? Right? You know, what is your measurement of success? What is your success criteria? My success criteria maybe will be different to yours.
Absolutely.
Right? And what is success to me? What is success to them? Is success earning, being wealthy? Is success being an Insta star? You can be an Instagram star in a day, you know, in a couple of months.
Yeah,
you can be an influencer. Anybody can be an influencer today.
Yeah.
You have a bit of charisma, you have a bit of charm, you're photogenic. Some people don't even have to be photogenic. You know,
and you just have to be consistent.
Correct. You just even if you're bad, you be consistent with you. But that's the thing. It's you know. But how long will all of that last? Someday you grow old too.
Yep.
Right. And there'll be a new Gen Z. But at the core of it, your values. If they're screwed on right, like I say, it's all the advice I can give. And I know my values changed. I think growing up, I was quite a selfish person. As a child, I was a selfish person. And my own personal circumstances made me like that. It takes a lot of introspection. I'm not there. I'm not 100% there. I'm not the epitome of a great person. But I am trying. I'm being mindful. I'm being conscious. I meditate. Mm-hmm. I follow the principles of Buddhism.
Okay.
You know, I am trying to do my best and be the best human being that I can.
Yeah, and I think that is all is needed. Nobody can be right there because we as humans are ever evolving and it is always going to be a journey. And as long as you said that you're conscious, you're learning, you're moving forward, you are true to yourself and your values, it's so, so beautiful that you have, in very simple terms, brought it out for people, and not just in your personal and societal way, but also in the corporate domain, because that is a huge chunk of our time that we spend there. And just thank you so much for such heartfelt conversation. I loved it.
Thank you for having me over. I mean, this was so natural and so easy to speak to you. And, you know, thank you for listening. And, you know, I don't want to come across as a pompous, egotistical person. I'm pleased if this is helpful in any way to anybody. I'm very proud to be representing my company, which is the Financial Times. And, I'm very proud to be working for a company such as the Financial Times. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. And another thing that I would like to point out, which I found really good in you, in this conversation itself, that even when you are in the position where you're learning and you're evolving every single day, but you acknowledge the fact and you are upfront about the fact that you were not like that. You were, let's say, as you said, you were selfish or you were not as aware before. And it is an ongoing journey. And just acknowledging that fact and coming out and speaking about it takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as big for you.
Yeah, it's probably not. Yeah. But thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that. That's very kind of you. I think you're right. And I'm nowhere near perfect. I'm nowhere close to perfect. But like I say, I'm trying. I'm trying to learn every single day. You know, I have an 8-year-old who teaches me a lot about life. You learn from everything. You learn from, you know, sometimes I just see him and I'm, you know, and his acts of kindness and compassion. And it's just it's that. It's seeing that and thinking like, oh my God, you know, if I only had the innocence of that child. But like I say, it's not, you know, I don't think anybody's near perfect. I don't think there's any one set of leadership that we can say that this is the right mold and everybody should follow that. You know, every leader comes with their own personality, their own life experiences, their own values. You know, everybody's different.
Yeah.
We're all, leadership is like a fingerprint. You know, it's very unique to yourself.
Yeah.
But what you can do is have a, is change that DNA molecular structure to include certain things. You know, to change yourself, to be more mindful, to be more conscious, to think about people, consult people, get people on the journey. It's, otherwise it's just going to be a lonely place for you. So yeah. So, but thank you very much for having me over on your podcast show. And yeah, very.
I absolutely loved the time with you.
And cool.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime.
And there you have it. Another episode of Psych and Success, packed with insights and real-world advice on business psychology, Gen Z, evolving workplace dynamics, culture, AI, and so much more. If you want to stay ahead of the curve and dig deep into the fabric of modern work, you know what to do. Hit that follow button, share this podcast with your network, and drop us a review on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you tune in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps us connect with more inquisitive minds like yours. By the way, if you're looking to get in touch with today's guest, I've got you covered. Check out the description for their contact details. And if you feel inspired to chat directly with me about these compelling subjects, you can book a quick call through my Calendly or shoot me an email. All the links are in the description. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, reminding you that the future of work is here and it's evolving fast. So let's explore it together.